You're listening to the free edition of the Start Teaching Guitar Podcast, episode 48.
Coming to you from Colorado Springs, Colorado, the home of Pikes Peak. This is the Start Teaching Guitar Podcast, a bi-weekly show dedicated to help you do music full-time and escape your day job through building a successful business teaching guitar. And here's your host, musician, guitar teacher, and small business coach, Donnie Scheck-Snyder.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Start Teaching Guitar Podcast. I'm your host, Donnie Scheck-Snyder, and I'm here to help you do music full-time and escape your day job through building a successful business teaching guitar lessons. The topic we're going to talk about today is extra special. It's fretboard theory. I have an interview with Desi Cerna on the podcast today. Are you tired of not having a good understanding of music theory as a player and a teacher? You know, it's really hard to teach these things to your students when you're still struggling with them yourself, but that doesn't have to be a problem for you anymore. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Desi Cerna, a very successful guitar teacher, author, and online entrepreneur. We'll be talking about the best ways to approach music theory for the guitar, how to understand and teach things like the modes of the major scale, and how to unlock the fretboard using the caged system and all kinds of other stuff. It's going to be a really great episode. But let me take care of the housekeeping really quick. Today's episode is actually brought to you by Desi Cerna's book, Fretboard Theory. Studying music theory really is the key to unlocking the mysteries of playing the guitar. Once you understand how all the pieces fit together, it's a lot easier to improvise solos and do things like write your own songs, play by ear, all these different things that are critical musical skills. Once you understand theory, what used to be hazy and unclear and kind of fuzzy starts to really make sense. And it can also help you get much better results with your guitar students because you're going to have more knowledge and experience to share with them than you had before. And you'll have a framework for all these different concepts that you teach. Desi Cerna has created one of the best resources available that I've found for learning music theory specifically for the guitar. It's a great resource if you need an easy-to-understand guide to scales, chords, modes, theory, and things like that, written from a guitar player's perspective. Whether you just need to brush up on some things for yourself and your own playing, or you need some good ideas for ways to teach those concepts to your guitar students and to work it into your curriculum, Fretboard Theory and the DVDs that accompany that book and are sold separately but go with it, those are great ways to really improve and master the elements of music theory that you need to know as a guitar player and teacher without all of the extra stuff that doesn't apply to what you do. Desi also has lots of free info over at his website, including free previews of his books and DVD videos that you can download and check out. Just head over to startteachingguitar.com/music theory to find out more. Now let's jump right into today's topic, fretboard theory, interview with Desi Cerna. Okay, in this episode, I'll be interviewing Desi Cerna. Desi is the author of Fretboard Theory and 4 DVD programs that teach guitar players about music theory, the guitar fretboard, plus scales, chords, progressions, modes, and more. Desi honed his craft in over 10,000 hours of private guitar lessons and classes. He also traveled around and played music live professionally for 14 years. This experience taught Desi about what music people like to hear and how people learn guitar. Today, the Desi Cerna Guitar Theory book and DVD program is a big hit with guitar players who want a practical, hands-on approach to music theory that focuses specifically on the guitar fretboard and popular guitar songs. And just as a side note, I've purchased a bunch of Desi's materials myself, and I think they're great. They've been a great learning tool for me, and I can definitely recommend them for any guitar teacher out there who's listening, who wants to learn more about music theory in a way that's easy to understand and implement in your own playing. So you can find out more about Desi and his music theory products for the guitar by visiting startteachingguitar.com/music theory. So I just want to say hi, Desi, and welcome to the Start Teaching Guitar podcast.
Hi, Donnie, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great that we were able to put this together. I think you have a lot of great information that you can share with my audience of guitar teachers here today. So to start things off, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your background as a musician and as a guitar teacher in particular?
Well, I think you covered a lot of it. You know, I would say that I'm primarily self-taught. I don't have a formal education, although I did take some university classes here and there, often just asking the instructor if I could just show up and take the class without receiving credit so that I didn't have to pay for it. And some of them let me do that, actually. But I primarily am self-taught. But of course, studying from a lot of materials. I mean, my gosh, I used to bring home stacks of books from the library on music and guitar playing, and countless DVD programs, and of course, learned tons and tons of songs. So I studied and practiced quite a bit, drawing on work from other authors and publishers that have a little bit more education credentials than I have. Started teaching in 1995 and playing gigs, started at coffee shops, playing chord melody style guitar, and eventually realized that if I wanted to make more money and if I wanted to have more exciting gigs, I needed to sing and be in a band and be in bigger clubs. So I pursued that and gigged 3 to 5 nights a week for years and years. I live in the Toledo, Ohio area, and so I mainly traveled around Ohio and Michigan. The Detroit area has a lot of entertainment, and there were a lot of opportunities for me to play up there, work through some agencies that booked a lot of gigs for me, and taught guitar lessons the whole time.
Okay, well, that's cool. Sounds like you got a very extensive background. And that's actually a great tip that you mentioned about auditing the college classes. That's something I never thought about, but I come from a similar background. I'm primarily self-taught, and I'm actually a music school dropout after one semester. But that's something that a lot of people could probably take advantage of, is just to go up and ask and see if they can just sit in on the class for free.
Yeah, and if they can't do that, a lot of these professors often give private lessons on the side anyway, so you can still receive a lot of the same instruction, or you can find a graduate that teaches.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice there. So, I mean, that's a great segue into my next question, because being self-taught, it just seems interesting to me that now you're primarily known for your focus on music theory. So what is it that inspired you to actually focus on music theory for guitar?
Well, I took some music theory classes, and it was difficult for me to see the connection to guitar playing, or perhaps more specifically to popular music. Like most guitar players, I'm listening to rock music and popular styles, the kind of music that you'd hear on top 40 and classic rock radio stations. I wasn't really listening to bebop jazz or classical music, but so much of the music theory information so much of the instruction is really geared to a more formal, traditional approach. I guess over time, I kind of figured out exactly how all that information applies to popular music and guitar playing, and changed my approach as a teacher. Initially, I had tried using a more traditional approach to guitar teaching, even using, you know, Mel Bay books, which are good. They're great for learning how to sight read and learning some skills. But most guitar players, they just want to learn how to play guitar and play popular songs, maybe even make up their own music or compose. They're not really interested in being, you know, they're not really interested in sight reading, or certainly sight reading like a concert violinist. That's just not why they picked up the instrument. So, you know, I just began to just kind of examine what was really going through my mind when I was playing songs, and, you know, what was I really relying upon to kind of navigate the fretboard and understand and music. And I started teaching this to my students, and of course it became a big hit. I had a very successful teaching business. You know, I typically would teach 40 students a week, and then I was also doing some group lessons and classes in addition to that. And then just kind of over time, I realized that that this approach works, and it's really needed, and it really fits the needs of guitar players better than a lot of the traditional stuff that was available. So, you know, my book Fretboard Theory, I titled it that because guitar players want to understand music. You know, they want to understand music theory, but really, in most cases, what they're really interested in is they just want to understand their guitar, and they want to understand guitar-oriented music. So I decided that something was needed that really focused specifically on a guitarist's perspective and focused specifically on guitar-oriented popular music, which is why, you know, if you take a look at my book, I have song references throughout the whole book. I talk about, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd and Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and Eric Clapton, because I realized that's what people are listening to, that's how they want to play, and that's what they're interested in. So my whole approach became teaching theory specifically as it pertains to guitar playing and those popular styles of music.
That's awesome. I mean, I think your background from being self-taught and coming from the perspective of someone who's not a classically trained musician, I think that's one of the things that makes your material so good, because you're basically coming from the same perspective someone like me or a lot of people in our audience might be coming from, that really want to learn music theory for the practical purposes of what it can bring to our guitar playing, but doesn't necessarily want to dive into all of the, you know, the world of classical music and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And kind of just following along that same, you know, line of conversation there, let's get a little more specific. So if someone is basically a self-taught guitarist, like myself and a lot of other people that are listening here, without much knowledge of music theory, or maybe someone that's kind of just learning about this stuff, what pieces of it do you recommend that they would learn first? I guess what I'm wondering is, what's going to give someone the biggest return in their playing, in their teaching, for the time investment that they put in?
There's a couple places you can start. For guitar players, guitar players need to learn like the pentatonic scale. I mean, it's just so common in guitar-oriented music, especially classic rock and blues, which are two of the most popular styles of music among guitar players. Major scale patterns are used too. I'm kind of thinking myself through this. Perhaps I could have had a more organized answer, but let me just back up and say that major scale patterns and pentatonic patterns for sure. I mean, right. there's there's all different types of scales that can be played in music, but the reality is that the majority of guitar riffs and solos and bass lines and melodies that you hear in popular music is based on either a major scale pattern or pentatonic patterns. So it's real important for guitar players to learn how to play those scales. And although the pentatonic is technically derived from the major scale, and it might make more sense to learn the major scale first, I usually have people learn the pentatonic patterns first just because they're simpler and they're easier to play. And there's so many simple, you know, pentatonic riffs that technically aren't very challenging. So from a playing perspective, it kind of makes more sense to start with those patterns. And once you develop a bit of skill, then you can move on to full major scale patterns, which just require a bit more work to learn and memorize and use. And then speaking of the major scale, guitar players really need to understand how chords are built from it, you know, triads and how you get the harmonized major scale with the chord that's built from the first scale degree being major, and then the second is minor and the third is minor and so on. You know, that is perhaps the most important foundational concept in all of music, is understanding basic chord construction and the harmonized major scale. Chord progressions and playing by numbers, that's what I call it, you know. If you don't know what a 1-4-5 chord progression is, you're in trouble, because that's just so common, and it's so essential to know that.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely something that can give you a lot of mileage. Being able to play by ear and you know, learn and perform songs more quickly and easily, for sure.
Yeah, and then as you learn other things, they all stem from something more foundational. I remember early on, before I had sorted all this stuff out, you know, I just had this grand idea that, man, I'm going to learn how to play outside the box. I'm going to learn how to play something that's, totally out there. Learn something really jazzy or weird. You know, I don't know. And hey, of course, it was all over my head. I didn't get it. It just took time for me to realize that in order to play something complicated, you need to understand the more simple and foundational building blocks that it's made from. So understanding basic chord construction and progressions and playing by numbers is really going to set the foundation so that guitar players can explore other things. Modes, for example. Modes is a topic that is really important, because all music is in a mode, whether people realize it or not. But it's a topic that really causes a tremendous amount of confusion. And one of the reasons for that is because guitar players never learn the more foundational aspects of music that the modal concept stems from. So I used to have guitar players come to me all the time and say, I want to learn modes. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, have you learned major scale patterns yet? Well, no, but I want to learn modes. You know, okay, well, do you understand how a chord progression works? You know, well, no, but I want to learn modes. And it's like, okay, you got to back up, because modes is really putting different pieces together.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to understand the concept of modes if you don't have the major scale down at least first, right?
Yeah, I mean, I tell people at the beginning of my modes DVD, and I think also at the beginning of the chapter, I tell them, look, you have to learn your major scale patterns, and you need to understand chord progressions and playing by numbers first. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. So go learn those things and then come back. And, I'll teach you modes in a real clear and easy way that you'll understand, and it'll finally click, and you'll go, oh, I get it now, you know?
Yeah. So you recommend using songs as the foundation for learning theory in your materials, which is kind of the opposite of the traditional way people approach it. Usually they'll throw the concepts at you first and then use songs to illustrate it. But speaking of songs, one of the common questions I hear a lot is related to the copyright laws. and using song tabs and charts and things like that, both in guitar lessons with your students and using them for yourself. So there's probably a lot of different answers to this question that people might offer, but in your opinion, how can guitar teachers use written notation without getting into any kind of legal trouble?
That's a great question. Let me back up, if I may, and just respond to something you said earlier.
Okay.
About how, you know, my approach is almost as if I'm starting with the songs and then teaching the theory, as opposed to the other way around, where you would teach the theory first and then relate it to songs. Actually, the majority of music theory instruction out there teaches the theory without making really any attempt to connect it to something practical or recognizable, unfortunately, you know? And that's one of the most frustrating things, I think, for guitar players. You go get a book on scales, and it's like, well, here's this scale, and here's this scale, and here's this scale. Okay, well, what do you do with it? And unfortunately, most of the books just don't tell you. They don't even say, hey, Purple Haze is the pentatonic scale, you know?
Right.
That was one of the big things that I always emphasized in my lessons, and one of the one of the major things that makes my books and videos so unique is that I never teach anything without giving people as many recognizable examples as I can. And I might add a little bit more to that since we're on this too. I'm working with an editor on a new version of Fretboard Theory, Volume 2. Great guy, and he has a very traditional, formal background. And as I presented some things in the book, he's pointed out, he says, you know, this isn't typically how you would present it. Normally, you would teach these things along with it. And I would explain to him, I know that. However, those other things, they just don't come up in guitar music, you know. So his comment was that he really felt like some of my chapters were a little disorganized, like I was taking bits and pieces from different studies of music and putting them together, you know, in an order that he typically wouldn't see them. And I had to explain to him exactly what I'm doing is I'm picking that information that is relevant to a guitar player and leaving most of the other stuff out, you know, basically. Yeah. As far as copyright, you know, I'm not an expert on copyright law, but I do know that technically you don't have the right to reproduce and sell copywritten music. And I don't do that. I have a lot of song references, you know, in my book and DVD, but I don't actually teach the songs, you know. So I'll teach, for example, E minor pentatonic scale patterns. And then I'll tell the reader that Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix uses E minor pentatonic, you know, and give them some examples. So, and I might talk a little bit about the song. You know, I'll say that it's centered in E minor pentatonics pattern 4 and 3. That's the way I think typically most guitar players would play it. So I might talk about how the scale's used in the song, but I don't actually notate the song. Because I can't do that because it's copywritten. I do have some free tab on my website that I give away. I've uploaded videos of me playing through a lot of songs on YouTube, which those videos really make for good companion study materials to my book. And technically, there are some copyright issues with that. You know, I mean, technically, you're not supposed to have a live performance of a copywritten song on YouTube. I mean, we all know that, but everybody does it, and I'm not actually selling that content. So I think it's kind of a different situation. I hope nobody would take my advice without, you know, consulting with someone that's really an expert on this. But I don't actually reproduce or sell any copywritten material. I just talk about it and teach it. In my videos too, I might reference a song and I'll just play a little bit in the style of that song, but I'm not actually performing that song, and I'm certainly not printing the sheet music.
Right. Yeah, and we're definitely not intellectual property attorneys or copyright lawyers or anything like that. It's just something that a lot of guitar teachers deal with, because a lot of people use, they'll print tabs and charts off of the internet to use in lessons and things like that. And I kind of like your approach. I mean, what I've typically done is I'll email the student a link to it, or I'll just pull it up on my laptop in a lesson, and we'll just, without printing it or reproducing it, we'll just kind of use the website tab for the lesson, and then I'll email them a link later, and that kind of takes me out of the equation as a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's difficult too. I mean, how do you police, you know, a guitar player writing something by hand in a private lesson, you know?
Yeah.
In a little studio somewhere up in the mountains in Colorado, right? I mean, right. It's kind of hard for people to track someone like you down. And then, you know, how are you going to collect? I understand that by law, technically, they would have grounds to do so legally. But, you know, realistically, I mean, guitar players have been writing out songs by hand, or even printing songs now, you know, off a computer and sharing them. And it's kind of difficult to police. By the way, I'm a big, you know, supporter of actual legal guitar music and tab. And I always encourage my students, I say, look, there's lots of free stuff floating around the internet, and it can be very useful and helpful. But there's also quite a bit to be gained from looking at a complete, accurate transcription of a song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to, once my students got to a point where they were really able to start learning songs in more depth, as opposed to just learning simplified versions of them, you know, strum a few chords along with the song, that sort of thing, I would often have them buy a tab book for an artist that they really liked, you know. So if they were, you know, whatever, a big Dave Matthews fan, I'd say, okay, well, why don't you order one of his tab books, and I'll walk you through it, and I'll show you how you can start learning this stuff on your own from a tab book. And I also promote, music notes and Sheet Music Plus and a lot of these online websites where you can download individual tabs, which is really nice. You know, you pay a dollar or two or something, and you could just purchase and download one song. And in many cases, at least for me personally, you know what, it's worth paying a few bucks to get something that's complete and accurate than it is to wade through all the free stuff on the internet, which often is just incomplete, sometimes totally inaccurate.
Right. So yeah, so I'll go ahead and put some links in the show notes to Sheet Music Plus and a few other sites that some of my listeners can check out for more info about that. And just to shift gears again, we've been talking about a lot of good stuff. I just want to, before we wrap things up, I want to talk a little bit more about the theory stuff. So what do you think is the missing link that keeps a lot of guitar players from really unlocking the fretboard and understanding how music on the guitar really works?
What is the missing link? Well, you know, everybody, there are different perspectives, which is okay, which is fine. Some people are blessed with, you know, a really great ear, and they just hear everything and seem to know where everything's at, you know? That's probably where most of our, you know, beloved guitar heroes are. I mean, you know, someone like Eddie Van Halen is just so incredibly talented and just blessed with these amazing, you know, innate musical instincts that I don't think it really mattered, you know, whether he studied or not. it just, you know, but for the rest of us, I think that the, well, I think it comes down to some basic things. You know, I mentioned that learn some scale patterns, understand how guitar players use pentatonic and major scale patterns. You got to learn chord progressions and playing by numbers. The cage system is pretty big too. I teach the caged chord system. I know that some people have kind of devised some other systems that they apply cage to. They have like cage scale systems and that sort of thing. There may be some value to that, but when I use the word cage, I'm referring to the system where any type of chord shape that you would play in the fretboard can be traced back to one of five basic chord forms, C, A, G, E, or D, hence the name caged. And each one of those forms, which we would normally play in the, think of it as being in the open position, well, each one of those could actually be turned into a bar chord. Some are obvious, like, you know, moving an E or an A form up, you get your common bar chords that guitar players use, but you can actually move up a G or a C form. It is a little bit more difficult and awkward. They don't work as well as the E and A forms. However, those chord forms are still used all the time on the guitar. They're just not used in their entirety. They're used in pieces, which are much easier to play. So when you learn that cage system, it really helps you understand all of these different types of chord shapes that guitar players play around the fretboard. All of a sudden, you begin to see how where they come from, and it's just easy for you to kind of keep track of them.
Right. So,
that helps. And then the other thing is just learn lots of songs. You know, you don't want to just learn a scale pattern or a chord shape from a diagram in a book and leave it at that. The more songs you learn as you study the theory, the more that things click and go together and you understand everything in a musical context.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that for sure. It does give you context for all these seemingly unrelated concepts that you're learning. And also just want to say, I've checked out several different courses and books and, you know, things like that, referencing the cage system. Like, I've done things like Fretboard Logic and a lot of other products, and I really do think that the way that you presented on your DVDs and in the book is one of the best methods out there for learning it.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I think that what's his name, Bill Edwards for Fretboard Logic, I think he did a great job of introducing the system and explaining to guitar players, look, you know, this idea that you get a chord book with thousands of individual diagrams and that's how you're going to learn chords, that's not how it works in a guitar. You know, you want to learn the basic forms from which all these other ones, you know, stem. You don't need a poster with the chord chart on it. You don't need a book with thousands and thousands of diagrams. When you understand where chords stem from, then you understand how to make them on your own. So he was spot on for that. And then I just took that further. Instead of just teaching, you know, the core forms, I would show people all the different ways that you can break it up. And actually, the caged chapter in my book is the largest chapter in the book. There's so much you can do with the cage system. Most people think, oh, cage, C, A, G, E, and D chord. Got it. What's the point? Do I really need to study more? You can take it so much farther than that. And, you know, I have tons and tons of examples of how those forms are moved around, how they're played as inversions, how you can create different fingerings or chord voicings. And, of course, I'm referencing songs all throughout it. So I'm saying, if you ever wondered where those chord shapes from Stairway to Heaven came from, here's how they... here's how you can trace it back to the cage forms, or Tears in Heaven is another good example of some chord shapes where most guitar players really would not be able to make any sense of some of those chord shapes, and then they learn the cage system, and they're like, oh, I get it now. It seems so simple. So yeah, I really try to take things a lot farther from where fretboard logic, for example, starts, and really tie it into the music the guitar players are trying to play so that they understand it completely. And they're applying it and they're using it.
Very cool. So as we're kind of wrapping things up here, we already mentioned some of your products, but you've created several different resources to help guitar players learn this stuff. So could you just briefly tell us a little bit about the things that you're offering on your website?
Yeah, I think you mentioned you've got a URL set up that people can visit, and that'll take them to my site. You know, I sell books and videos, of course, but I have a lot of great free resources too. I also have a podcast that's on iTunes. It's very popular. And I went through quite a bit of the instruction in my book and video, and it's there to listen to, and it's free. I have tons of videos on YouTube. I ended up using YouTube to do some of the things that I couldn't do in the book and videos. For example, actually teach some parts from songs. You know, I can't reprint and sell that, but I thought, well, I'll at least make a free YouTube video. And I have a blog, and I'm always posting to my blog, and, you know, people might send me a question and ask me about, you know, hey, what key is, you know, this heart song in, or something like that. So I'll analyze it and do a little quick lesson on it and post it. So, you know, people can definitely search my blog, and I have a forum with lots of questions and answers posted. So they just follow that link that you provided to my website, and then they can kind of poke around from there, and there's links to, you know, YouTube and my podcast. And, of course, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing, posting stuff and answering questions and responding to comments.
Great. Yeah, and just so for the record, that link is startteachingguitar.com/musictheory. And that'll take you directly to Desi's homepage, where you can check all those resources out. So I have one last question for you, Desi.
Yeah.
So with all your experience as a guitar teacher, this is just a question I like to ask everyone that I interview. What would be your biggest piece of advice for other guitar teachers that are out there teaching today?
Biggest piece of advice? Well, it would have two parts. Number one, if you're going to get into guitar teaching seriously, it has to be something that you really want to do and you have a passion for, which I certainly did and still do. That's why, you know, I publish my materials now. A lot of guitar players kind of get into teaching by default, you know. They're a guitar player, but they don't want to get a real job, or they need some sort of income, and so they think, well, all right, well, I'll charge people to teaching guitar. But the truth is they don't really have a true desire or passion for teaching, and you got to have that. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time, and you're wasting your students' time. And then the second half of that would be that you have to understand that it's about the student. And it's about you as a teacher meeting the needs of your students and making the lessons, you know, enjoyable and fulfilling for them. You know, you don't want to be that guitar player that is always trying to impose your interests on your students, or trying to make the lesson more enjoyable for you than the student, you know? Yeah. So I guess that's my advice. If you really don't have a true desire to teach and help people out, you think, I just need to make some money, maybe is that something you should get involved in? If you do get involved, you know, you want to be... I used to get excited about basically, you know, making my students happy, you know? If I had a student that came to me and said, I have to be honest, I don't listen to music except for Nirvana. I am obsessed with Nirvana, and that's all I care about is Nirvana. Then I would be like, you know what? Fine. Plenty to work with here. You know, we'll start with some simple power chords and stuff. We'll have some fun with it. And I actually really liked being able to give students what they really wanted, you know? And by the way, many of those students, after you kind of satisfy their initial desire, those interests that drew them to the instrument in the first place, you can often then introduce them to new things, or they'll start asking about new things. You know, okay, we've done so much Nirvana now, you know, who's this Eric Clapton guy? You know what I mean? So I had a lot of students that initially, other instructors might have been a little frustrated working with, but I said, you know what, I'm just going to go with it, and I'm just going to cater to their needs right now. And they ended up blossoming into great students and doing very well. You know, so I always really enjoyed that part of the teaching process and working with people like that. And if that's not something that you can really enjoy, you know, if you're one of those people where you're obsessed with your music and your style of playing, and you want, you know, and you want to decide what people should and shouldn't learn, things may not work out so well for you.
Yeah, exactly. I talk about that on this podcast all the time, about how it's not about you. You know, when you're a teacher, it's totally about what your students want to learn. And, you know, there's a degree where you have to direct that, because they obviously don't know what they don't know. But if it's not tied to their goals and their desires and the music and the songs that they like, they're just not going to get very good results, you know, studying with you. So that's great advice.
Yeah. And, you know, you also have to, you also have to be realistic and understand that the majority of your students are just playing guitar because it's just a hobby. It's just kind of a side interest, you know? They don't necessarily aspire to be as great as you or take it as seriously as you, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's another problem I found, is that, you know, some guitar teachers would refuse to teach a student because they didn't think they were taking it seriously enough. And, you know, I'd say, come on, you want lessons? I'll give you lessons. You know, I'll give you a good analogy. I don't know if I used this in my book or not. I may have. But I remember the first time I bought a gym membership to like a health club, you know, mm-hmm. science facility. The guy who's selling me on the membership is telling me about all the bodybuilding competitions he was in and the different weight, you know, groups that he competed in, and giving me his numbers and saying, I'm going to put you on a program and, you know, we're going to put 100 pounds of lean, hard muscle on you. And I don't know, you know what I mean? And I remember just feeling so overwhelmed that I'm thinking, look, I just wanted to get out of the house and get a little exercise. I'm not, I'm not going to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger here. Who does this guy think I am? And you got to take the same approach with teaching sometimes and realize that, you know what? Some people work all day, or they're busy with school all day. They enjoy music. It's relaxing to them. It's very casual. And they enjoy learning a little bit. They enjoy playing a little bit. And that's how they want to keep it. And that's okay.
Yep. That's great. Great way to wrap this interview up. We're out of time, but I was just going to say, do you have any last thoughts that you want to share with us before we go?
No, I don't think so, other than I need to get caught up. I see you've got a lot of past podcast episodes, and you got a lot of great information here. So I might have to go back and listen to some of these myself.
Well, thanks a lot, Desi. I appreciate that. Just to close it out, again, you can find out more about the Fretboard Theory book and Desi's DVDs. He has downloadable versions of those things as well that you can purchase, and a whole lot more, by visiting startteachingguitar.com/musictheory. So, well, I just want to say thanks, Desi, for taking time to be on the Start Teaching Guitar podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks, Donnie. You got a great thing going here, and I'm glad that I could be a part of it.
Great. Well, we'll catch up with you later.
Great. Okay.
Okay, that's all for this episode of the free edition of the Start Teaching Guitar podcast. If you'd like to hear this episode in its entirety, full length, and without any commercials or advertisements, you can purchase your own STG All Access membership by visiting www.stgallaccess.com. STG All Access members get full-length, ad-free podcast episodes every single week, covering more detailed how-to topics, along with access to my notes and outline for each episode. Members also get access to the STG podcast archive, including the first 25 episodes of the podcast that are no longer available to the general public. And they get access to the STG community forums, where you can connect with myself and other guitar teachers to ask questions and get help with building your teaching business. Just head over to www.stgallaccess.com to start your risk-free membership today. I just want to thank everyone for taking the time to tune in. This has been the free edition of episode 48 of the Start Teaching Guitar podcast with Donnie Schechsnyder. Until next time, keep on teaching.
Thanks for listening to the Start Teaching Guitar podcast with Donnie Schechsnyder. If you like what you heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, www.startteachingguitar.com, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the podcast page on our website to listen to previous episodes of the show. Join us next time for another edition of the Start Teaching Guitar podcast.